T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Halfway home on a Monday night, Willie P in the building, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, in for John Chuckery, who's deserving, or who is taking some well-deserved vacation, I should say. I'll be here the next couple days. Sam Crenshaw is going to join you later on in the week, so we're looking forward to having Sam the Man in the building. And if you missed Sam's interview, he and Greg Clarkson, who hosts on Sundays from 6 a.m. to 10 a.m. on the Radio.com app, they did an interview with the head coach at Morehouse, Rich Freeman, the head football coach there, about their school not having any fall sports. I have to tell you, it was a lot different than what I was expecting. We played a little bit for you early on, and we'll do a little bit more also about an hour from now on it when we talk about what's happening. But I was somewhat surprised at how measured they were about that decision. And again, I know that it was a difficult one they had to make, and they kind of go into some of the nuts and bolts of how and why. And again, that's on radio.com. Actually, it was funny. I was one of the few times I have ventured out beyond my four walls. I was out enjoying a socially distanced beverage, and there was a gentleman who was sitting at the bar, and he said, "You know, I wish there was a TV station that just, you know, had wall-to-wall Atlanta sports all day." And I couldn't help but overhear this person and approach him and say, "You know what? I'll bite. Do you have cable? Do you have satellite?" He's like, "No, I got a Roku." And I said, "You're in luck, because the Radio.com app is actually on Roku. And you have the ability to basically keep us on all day on that Roku. Or if you have a sound bar or something, you know, similar inside your house that you can connect via Bluetooth, you can use the Radio.com app on your phone and hear us all day. And the rewind function you have on the phone app allows you to rewind if you miss something. Like if you wanted to hear my conversation with Levin Reed, where we were talking about Cam Newton at 7:40. You can rewind and go back and hear that. If you want to hear what Steve Kuhn had to say to Dukes and Bell earlier this afternoon about the landmark decision they made to turn State Farm Arena into a polling place, they had a very nice conversation about that at 3:40 earlier today. So the Radio.com app, you know, if you are jonesing for sports conversation during the day that you don't get from the national outlets on TV or, you know, everything else where you might be consuming media, the Radio.com app, you know, we're on the air from 5A to 11P every day during the week, and plenty of on-demand content for you. We've got podcasts. I do a baseball podcast. We've got a NASCAR podcast. We're going to have more podcasts about the local teams once they start getting up and running again, including the Hawks and the Falcons, as well as Stoppage Time with Mike Conte and Jason Longshore, which, of course, is still a large running feature on 92.9thegame.com, as well as our Facebook page. But if you are like the person who I ran into, and I didn't even have my 92.9 shirt on, but I was just like, yeah, radio.com is a place to be. And because of that, you have the opportunity to be a part of the Atlanta sports conversation anytime you download that app, wherever you get your apps via iPhone or Android, or again, Roku, as well as Amazon Alexa and Google Home. Jarvis Davis, of course, is our Falcons insider. He's also the producer of this fine program, the executive producer, I would even go so far as to say. I was throwing something around Friday, Jarvis, and, you know, this is kind of in the realm of what we were talking about earlier with Bill Belichick, but I almost extended it out to the entire league. You know, when you think about the way the NFL operates, the NFL never, and I would say never, I would amend it to say very rarely, they very rarely get rid of things that they don't feel are absolutely necessary. And what I mean by that is there's a reason that they believe in having mandatory off-season OTAs and rookie minicamps and a lot of these things that we have not had in terms of our new normal inside the coronavirus pandemic. The fact that basically in a formal sense, you will not have anything involving an organized training camp until July 28th, which for a team like the Falcons, I would consider to be a significant disadvantage because of the amount of players that they've had come in during this offseason, either by the draft or free agency, that need to be implemented into a system by more than just mental reps and the Falcons U program that they've done over the course of this offseason. So with that in mind, does starting from behind give you any pause or change your mindset into how you evaluate the Falcons when the 2020 season is all said and done, assuming we get all 17 games in during this campaign?
No, and I think one of the things you have to take in consideration if I'm the owner of the Atlanta Falcons, Arthur Blank, is that everybody is playing with the same set of balls. Everybody's playing with the same set of sticks or helmets. Everybody's playing with time. Everybody has the same amount of time that they're working with right now. Everybody has the option to do virtual OTAs or virtual kick-ass OTAs, as John Checkery affectionately calls them. There are all of those things that are in place that you can do and get those mental reps. You can have those one-on-one conversations with a guy like AJ Terrell, who you know you're going to have to count on to get to play ball this year. There are guys like Isaiah Oliver who still has something to prove as he goes into as he's the veteran guy in that DB, that cornerback room. He's the vet. So, and we know Isaiah Oliver is kind of like the stock market. Okay, he looks okay this day. He might be down a little bit this day, and he went on a run to use a stock term towards the end of last year, and he was looking pretty decent. And you kind of understood why they may have gone and taken him in the second round. So I said all that to say is that you can't have a built-in excuse coming into this year because you know what you were dealing with coming off of back-to-back 7-9 seasons, not being in the playoffs, and everybody pretty much thinking that you were going to be fired on last year. So I don't think that seat gets a little colder. I actually think it gets a little hotter because of the circumstances, because of the situation. Yeah. Like, all right, I expect you to do the same thing you would do if we weren't going through a pandemic, if I'm Arthur Blank.
Surprised you didn't say the team that knew social distancing most in the 2019 season was the Atlanta Falcon defense, but I'm glad you didn't do that.
Oh, wow. Man,
glad you didn't do
that's
that.
Rough.
That joke has been made plenty of times over the course of the last couple of months, and I wasn't going to be the one to do it for the 500th time, even though I did just say it. But be that as it may, My only thing is, again, I'm not saying that I automatically give them a pass, but I know one thing is that the opening part of this season is no picnic. And because of that part of it, I almost wonder, like, you know, when you sit there and you have Seattle, Dallas, Green Bay, Minnesota right off the bat there, I know that that's still in that area of time where I think, you know, and Levin Reed brought this up too when we had him on earlier talking about Cam Newton. You know, last time we had any kind of year that resembled this from a preparation standpoint was the year after the uncapped year, 2011, when, you know, it looked like we were going to have a strike and we kind of did, but we still had, you know, the preseason after everything was all said and done. But we had a truncated off-season program, and the players were not involved during the off-season. So because of that, I look at this and I say, we're probably going to have 4, 5, 6 weeks of bad football. Now, again, that's everybody on the same ledger. I'm not saying that there isn't anything to be said about that. But my whole thing with the Falcons is that if I'm Dan Quinn or Thomas Dimitroff, I feel like I tried to make an overhaul when it comes to this particular football team, knowing what we needed to fix on either side of the field. And I feel like I've gotten a bit of a raw deal in the fact that I can't get my hands on these guys. I can't see what I can get out of Todd Gurley inside this Falcons offense. I can't see the things that I can do with this revamped secondary that includes A.J. Terrell, the guys you drafted, and a hopefully healthy Keanu Neal. Like that, and even the defensive line, which is largely brand new when you think about Marlon Davidson, Dante Fowler, and some of the other pieces that they've plugged in. My whole thing is that you're going to have a real tough time figuring out what you have with your team without having physical reps.
And that's the hard part, right? You know, like I say, everybody's dealing with it. Everybody is going through the same exact thing. And one of the things that you mentioned when you first off is that first four games of the schedule, you're going to have a pretty good idea how the season is going to go. When you're talking about the Seahawks, the Cowboys, the Bears, when I think about those, just those three teams alone.
The Bears is the only real gimme of the bunch.
And I wouldn't even say that, because you have a guy like Khalil Mack who can wreck an entire football game. I think the test is going to be visible. It's going to be visible. You're going to see those guys, whether or not they're going to pass that question. When I say questions, I mean that first play, that first offensive series when Khalil Mack puts his hand in the dirt, or that first offensive series against the Cowboys when DeMarcus Lawrence put his hands in the dirt. You know, all of those guys are hell raisers when you're talking about coming off the edge and getting to the quarterback. And that's the main question this year. Can that offensive line get their hands on those guys? Who's going to be that starting left guard? We already know where the right side of the offensive line. Caleb McGarrett, a little shaky, yeah, pass pro. Yeah, but when you got those guys getting in that cohesiveness with a guy like Chris Lynch, who I think he's going to be a solid football player.
Yeah, I think you're underrating, and I think many people have underrated the effect of having Lindstrom next to him for a whole season.
No doubt.
He's able to stay healthy. Like that, I know it sounds simplistic. And
no,
it
sounds doesn't.
Minuscule,
it doesn't.
But for people like you and me who know what it's like being in the trenches.
No doubt, yeah.
That ain't a small thing.
Yeah, it's not, man, because the one constant from that 2016 year is that, I'm going to tell you one thing that it wasn't. That wasn't a great offensive line. But one thing I can tell you, it was consistent. Like, all the starters were, for 16 games, those guys were that same unit. It was the same five guys that lined up. And that's one thing that has been the biggest inconsistency in the Falcons in the past couple of years when they've had these down years, is that it's been a straight-up carousel up front in front of Matt Ryan. And when you know
especially
you have
a left guard.
Oh, my God. It's like, we have an NBA caliber player of, like, Matt Ryan's ilk is you have to have that consistency up front, because we know once you give to that, you totally see what he's capable of. Once you give him a guy who, like Kyle Shanahan, who's probably one of the great schemers in the NFL, probably I put him in my top three, is from a scheme standpoint to get guys open, meaning Matt Ryan is going to have somebody running wide open, and you know for a fact he's going to hit him. And I just believe wholeheartedly, man, like, this team is going to be tested early on. You're going to find out what type of season you're going to be getting yourself into early on. And I think Arthur Blank will know probably in the first quarter of the season whether or not this group or this regime is going to come back.
Yeah, left to right across the line that year. Matthews in his second year, Andy LaVitra, Alex Mack, who was 31 at the time, Chris Chester, Ryan Schrader, the only one of those who's, I think, an all-pro type player.
Chester was a journeyman.
Is Mack.
Ryan Schrader was an undrafted free agent out of Valdosta State. Andy LaVitra was a cast-off from the Titans. Uh-huh. You know, and Jake Matthews was, you know, he's a solid guy. He's nothing great. So when you think about that offensive line, man, it just speaks to what consistency means amongst offensive line. You don't have to have the all pros. And Alex Mack was all world that year. So it just speaks to what you the needs are to be able to be successful. And for this team to be successful, that offensive line has to be consistent, and they have to be there game in and game out.
And the most important stat of all five of those, they all made 16 starts in that Super Bowl berth season. Willie P. and Jarvis here with you, and for John Chuckery, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. I do have one more Falcons question I want to ask you before we get to some more stuff on Cam Newton. And that question is, if the Panthers are tanking for next year, if the Saints and the Buccaneers are trying to win now, where are we? We'll have that answer for you when we come back. Willie P. and for John Chuckery, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and radio.com. Willie P. and for John Chuckery on a Monday evening, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We'll talk some soccer coming up in about 20 minutes. We had Jason Longshore on Friday's program. If you missed any part of that, we'll let you hear some of what he had to say, including a scouting report on all three teams inside Atlanta's group. They play two teams that they have played before, at least one in the preseason, one during the limited regular season that they've had so far. And they also will play Columbus as well. So we'll get into that a little bit coming up. You can always text the show, 404-741-0929. We have somebody, a bunch of people on there who have varying opinions on the virus and whether or not there's going to be a season or not. Look, I've always said, you know, it would take something somewhat catastrophic to not have it. And by catastrophic, I mean like almost a whole team being wiped out. Not saying that that can't happen, but I'm also saying like they're going to do everything they possibly can. They wouldn't be going through this process, all these professional leagues, if they didn't feel like they could hold the season safely. Again, even though that health is not their number one motive on this, number one objective, they would not be risking what could be possibly some real bad penalties involving some force major stuff if they weren't confident that they could have a season. I asked the question before the break, and I want you to answer it real quick, Jarvis, before we move on to the camp stuff. If Tampa Bay and New Orleans are in win-now mode with their two quarterbacks and the way they constructed their teams, and the Carolina Panthers are in tank for Trevor mode, even though I think signing Teddy Bridgewater might actually sink the tank for Trevor movement. Where are the Falcons?
I think the goal for them, it has to be make a run in the playoffs. Because when you look at the situation, Dan Quinn, and I'm going to assume Thomas Dimitroff was in that conversation as well, when basically the question had to be asked at the end of the year, okay, is this guy coming back? Or are these guys coming back? Is this regime coming back? It has to be deep playoff runs are better. Because you look at how old your quarterback is. Matt Ryan still has a few good years in him, but it's coming on down. He's on the backside of his career. He's not in the twilight, but he's coming down on the backside. And when you think about and you look at the move of Todd Gurley, signing a guy like him, taking a chance on a guy like him, which essentially could be a boom or bust type of signing. So if it booms, if Todd Gurley booms, that means your offensive line is playing well and they're being solid and consistent up front like we talked about earlier. I think that if it has to be deep playoffs or better, given, you know, where you are offensively, because we know this. That's where most of the money is on this team. When you have guys with contracts like Julio Jones and Matt Ryan, This team is built to be great on offense and the defense to follow suit. This team was not built the opposite way. It has never been that way. Even in their most successful season, the front runner for this team was that offense, putting up 33 points a game. And hey, defense, go and rush the quarterback because they're trying to catch up. So I think that they're trying to do that same thing this year. Hopefully, Dirk Koetter can understand that and put those game plans together in order to achieve that. But I think this no less than deep run in the playoffs, if not Super Bowl.
And that's kind of where I'm at. You know, I understand that's where they're where they've built the team. The only problem is usually when you build your team that way, you get more playoff hype and you get more hype from the national media other than from just up 85. Like that's the part of it that I'm not saying they're deserving of it. And I'm not going to sit here and say I'm not a believer in what they're building. Like I'm confident that one of the greatest things that is born out of, or that NFL success is born out of, is financial desperation. Like, I don't want to say that Mr. Mitroff and Dan Quinn are financially desperate people, but they know it's put up or shut up time for both of them. And that's not just here. That's anywhere. Like, Dan Quinn is not going to get another head coaching job if they don't make the playoffs this year. I think it'd be very, very difficult for him, at least not right away. He'll have to go somewhere and be a coordinator if he can't get the job done this year. I don't know if another team will give Thomas Dimitroff an opportunity to be a general manager and a team builder without first trying to prove that he can still evaluate talent. And again, I'm not saying that he can't, but the writing will be on the wall if you don't get the job done this year. The problem is they built their team in the same kind of way that New Orleans and Tampa Bay did, at least they tried to, and they're getting under the credit. And that's the part of it that kind of has me somewhat scared. And it's not completely unheard of that a team can turn around from being 7-9 and go in and, you know, turn 7-9 into 12-4, especially in a year so as unpredictable as this one is, given the fact that you have made some significant overhauls to positions that were problem areas in 2019. It's all about putting it all together and having the kind of faith in front of the guys who put that together and the ones who coach it. I think there's probably more faith in this defense now than there was at any point during 2019, even through the second half run last year. It's just a matter of, hey, do you have the type of faith in Matt Ryan and Dirk Cutter to run an offense that can put up enough points in 2020 to be successful and also score enough, make sure that defense doesn't have to pitch a shutout every time, which, again, is somewhat of a variable uncertainty. I do want to bring this up with regards to what we were talking about earlier with Cam Newton, 404-741-0929 on the phones, and the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line at Willie P Style on Twitter is how you get in touch with me, Willie P. That's IEP Style. I don't think people understand really the way the NFL works when it comes to the way this whole Cam Newton thing was handled. And again, I think this was totally bungled from the Carolina Panthers' perspective. And I just saw Cam Newton's video that he put out. And I was going to try to have us play some of it, but the audio level of it is not off of a very good microphone. So I don't know if it's worth playing from an audio perspective. But just to kind of give you the gist, he said, you know, he has no bitterness toward Carolina. He knew it was over when it was over, but has no bitterness. And he didn't want to leave Carolina. And what that tells me, combined with the actions that were taken, up to and including the fact that Carolina would not part with anything other than either a package of picks or a high-level draft pick in order to trade him away from this roster. If they were convinced that Cam Newton was damaged goods, they would have let him go for a song. They would have said, huh, good luck taking him. See if he passes the physical. Go right ahead. Take him. If they really cared about Cam Newton, they would have, if they didn't care about Cam Newton, they would have just said, you know what, pshaw, done. Now, if you knew one thing about the Patriots' perspective, they were in salary cap hell around the free agency time, so they had a lot of people leaving them. They had a situation where they had to unleash Rob Gronkowski as well. To Tampa Bay. There were a couple other deals that they could not necessarily get done because of financials, and a lot of those got sorted out after the draft. But the fact of the matter is that make no mistake about this. If Cam Newton was damaged goods, he would have been traded a while ago. So there are teams, and I'm sure the Patriots weren't the only one, and Cam said as much in this video, that have been on the phone with Cam Newton for a while. It's just about whether or not they wanted to spend the financial wherewithal and be in the position of having to trust him as their quarterback. And it also came down to Cam Newton going to a place where he knew that if he played well, he'd be the unquestioned starter. And I think that's the truth in New England. Like, there isn't another job in the league other than maybe the Los Angeles Chargers where Cam Newton could have walked in amongst a quarterback room and won the starting job outright. There isn't. Other than where he left in Carolina. There was already either a plan in place for somebody to take the reins or somebody already well established to go in and have that job. There was nobody that Cam could have, there was no place where Cam could wrestle the job out of somebody else's hands other than New England. And again, it's not like the job in New England was anybody's to begin with. It was an open season with Jarrett Stidham and Brian Hoyer. And if you're trying to, you know, again, assuming overall health is good, which again, I don't think they would have made the move if it wasn't. And I don't think Carolina would have just outright released him if they thought that he was damaged goods. So from that entity and from that viewpoint, Cam Newton is going to be the starting quarterback for the New England Patriots. I'm not saying he's going to look like the quarterback that he was in 2015, but he's not going to look like Jarrett Stidham or Brian Hoyer is. I wouldn't necessarily put them in the driver's seat of the AFC East, but I'd put them as a viable second option after Buffalo. I think, you know, the Jets are a tire fire and Miami's got a rookie. A rookie who, by the way, is coming off of a much more severe injury than what Cam dealt with, and Cam has had a longer time to get himself back. Now, there have been multiple problems with Cam, you know, the shoulder injury, and then, of course, the Lisfranc, so it's not as if Cam hasn't had his issues, but if you remember the last time Cam was healthy, last time Cam played 16 games in a season, he had one of his best seasons in a while. And even the season he had where he wasn't fully healthy in 2018, they didn't go 6-8 under his stead because of him. He had only 13 interceptions, 24 touchdowns. The only time he's had more than that was in the MVP year. And under North Turner, he completed passes at a 68% clip. And you have to think that's going to be a part of the Patriot game plan come 2020. Because, as we said earlier, Bill Belichick is not in the business of molding his system to a quarterback or to a player. He is in the mold of taking a player and his interests and accolades and skill set and molding an offense and a game plan around him. And that's where he comes in. That's where Josh McDaniels comes in. He couldn't have gone to a better place. It was tailor-made for him. We should have all seen it sooner. But as the world turns, so does the NFL. 404-741-0929 is how you get in touch with me, Willie P. We'll talk some footy next. You know, Atlanta United is about 12 days away from getting on the pitch inside the Orlando bubble. The group is a tricky one. Jason Longstreth tells us why as we replay some parts of the interview that he did with me on Friday of this program, which is the John Chuckery Show. Willie P. filling in for John. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and Radio.com. Willie P. in for John Chuckery. Hope you're enjoying yourself in a building. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game inside the Mobile Kia Studios. Always available via radio.com. 404-741-0929 is the Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. Also on Twitter at Willie P. Style. Latest person to reveal a positive COVID test in the world of sports is Brooklyn Nets forward DeAndre Jordan. He on Twitter says he found out last night, confirmed again today, that he had tested positive for COVID while being back in Brooklyn. As a result, he will not be in Orlando for the resumption of the NBA season. I want to say this the exact way that I heard this, because I heard it so eloquently put, and I haven't been able to make my brain put the sentence together the way that I exactly heard it, but this is really going to be a test of how, you know, the test of the metal inside your stomach when it comes to these tests that come out. Like, I'm going to tell you right now, there's probably going to be a Brave to test positive when these guys get tested on Wednesday. It's inevitable. The law of averages is the way it is. If not today, if not Wednesday, and I'm not saying that for a fact, but the law of averages says there's probably going to be somebody on every team that has it at some point. And, I can't say for a fact. I mean, our soccer team had two positive tests, and they've been quarantining those guys like crazy. When it comes to the Braves, they're actually letting them go back to their homes. They're not putting them in a bubble, which is one of the craziest things I heard Alex Anthopoulos say in his conference call. But at the end of the day, it's going to come down to guys being adults. And even if they're being adults, it might not be the only thing that happens. It could be they're exposed to a carrier, and somebody who doesn't show up on the test. So again, it's. This is going to be some stomach-churning stuff over the course of the next couple of weeks. And it's just something that's kind of have to deal with. Man, when you think about, and this is from a buddy of mine who covers Brooklyn. He says, the Nets will not have Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving, Wilson Chandler, DeAndre Jordan, or possibly Spencer Dinwiddie in Orlando. And they are sitting right now on the final playoff spot, 6 games up on the Wizards with 8 to play. Who's on the G League team for the Brooklyn Nets, we wonder? Oof. I think that's the Long Island Nets, I want to say. Wouldn't want to be that team. But again, this is going to be a part of our I hate saying new normal. It's my least favorite saying. There's also one saying, if new normal gets punted, there's another saying that an hour from now when we do this segment called The Kicker, there's one particular phrase that I want completely banned, and I'll explain when we get to it. The MLS is back a week from Wednesday. It's fully back for Atlanta United a week from Saturday. Of course, you'll hear all the games and the action right here on your home for the Five Stripes Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. Of course, they play 8 a.m. Saturday night against the New York Red Bulls. Then following Thursday, they take on FC Cincinnati at a 9 a.m. game. And then back again on the 21st, they close out group play against the Columbus Crew. Talking about this on Friday with Jason Longshore, we know, of course, the elephant in the room is still that you don't have Joseph Martinez in the lineup. The one thing, though, that I find an advantage is the fact that now you kind of know that going in, and they've had some time to kind of structure their team and structure their lineup in a way that allows for them to kind of cover up the loss of Joseph Martinez. See, when it happened again in that game against Nashville, you really kind of had to make it up as you went along, and you really didn't have a lot of time between the game against Cincinnati and, of course, the game against Club America and the CONCACAF Champions League, which, again, we looked outclassed by a better squad. But I also think the score line itself probably turned off a lot of people. And when you think about the fact that even against a side as superior as Club America, you still had some positives you could have taken away. But the one thing that Jason Longshore does say, our Atlanta United analyst, talking about Atlanta United in this group against the New York Red Bulls, Cincinnati, and Columbus, is that it's tricky without having number 7.
I think Frank DeBoer's got options. I think the fact that the club has been very out in front of everything with this pandemic and figuring out how to get back to training and how to do it safely, they've been able to train quicker than anybody else has. So all that extra time will help Frank DeBoer figure out, you know, what his options are. He has Adam John, he has J.J. Williams, who are traditional strikers, traditional number 9s, but he also has players like Pitti Martinez, Ezequiel Barco, Mateo Sosetu, who can factor into that role and not directly replace Joseph Martinez, but create a different way for this team to play in the attack.
The one thing that I find interesting is the role of Pitti on this squad. And when you think about how everything just kind of fell into his place after the Joseph injury and kind of the spotlight went on to him. And we've talked about this with Jason before. You know, he was asked to do a lion's share when you think about the way that he built himself up at the beginning of the 2019 campaign and coming from South America and also having the overseas tournament. A lot of things were against him in that regard going into last year. So he was starting at a significant disadvantage. Now having a full off season and having a greater understanding of what Frank DeBoer wants out of him, especially now that they've had some time to cope without having Joseph in the 11, you can have him play more of that top role with that triangular configuration, whether it's, you know, Barco up there on the left side, or if he hangs back more in the midfield. There's some talk that Mateus Osetu could possibly play a false nine, or you possibly play Adam John in that top position as well, just because he has a little bit more size and you can play Pitti out more on the flank. One thing's for certain, the Five Stripes have some options going into their first game against the New York Red Bulls a week from Saturday.
You tried two different solutions, and I think those are probably the two that you're looking at first in this scenario. Adam John started in the league match in the win at Mercedes-Benz Stadium, and then Pitti Martinez started up top, and I thought he was very good in Mexico. I think that game, the score line maybe hides a little bit of how well Atlanta United played. I thought Barco and Pitti both played well. I think that can work against certain opponents. The Red Bulls present a different kind of challenge, though. We know how they're going to play. We know their pressing style. You're going to have to either play through that press or play over the top of it, and you have two different solutions: to play through with Pitti or to play over the top to a big number nine like Adam John.
I know that last year, when you think about that game against the Red Bulls that they played at Mercedes-Benz Stadium, that was so frenetic when you think about how much it seemed like we were playing on our heels, and that's kind of what you think back to, and you think back about how it seemed like there was so much that was won off the counter on both sides. You think about how there were a couple of goals in added time, including the one that ultimately settled it into a draw. There were a lot of back and forth scenarios. It was not a typical soccer game when it comes down to it. There wasn't a lot of settling. There was a lot of frenetic pace to it, and that's the one thing that I think is still a characteristic of this New York Red Bulls team. The one wild card in all of this, and again, we talked about this in terms of Mateus Osetu, the fact that he wasn't really in form yet, and the same could be said of our next person that we focus on, Manuel Castro. I asked Jason Longshore, since we really don't know a lot about him, what does his skill set bring to the table, and how does that factor in to possibly being a part of the lineup come this group stage?
Castro is a little bit different kind of player than that shape we just talked about, because he is traditionally played out on the right wing, a little more like Tito Villalba did in the past for this team. Can he play tucked in? That's going to be the question. Can he play where he's going to be comfortable in central spots on the field? Not every player is comfortable in all aspects of the field. We'll see once we get a little bit more of Castro. The other thing that does is you didn't really have as many options to play more of a 4-3-3 with wide attacking players. Castro, that fits him to a T, and it just gives Frank DeBoer another option if that match calls for it.
And the one thing that I still go back to that Jason said before the season is that this team, even without Joseph, has versatility. And the shape you see to start the game won't necessarily be the shape you see to end the game, or even the one, even with the same grouping of players that you have on the pitch. They're going to have an opportunity to change shape on the fly. And when you hear him compare Manuel Castro to Tito Villalba, not that he's necessarily the same player like for like, but if he can have the kind of relationship with Pitti that Tito Villalba had with Joseph in the 2018 championship season, that poses a nice little deadly type of person that you have to account for on the flank so that Pitti can have potential opportunities over the top to possibly get goals. And that's the one thing that I believe that everybody looked at when they saw that Joseph Martinez was not a part of this team, is that how are you going to score goals? I'm not at any position fearful that they can't find goals. It's whether or not you can score the goal on command like you did with Joseph if you perhaps fall behind or if that back line succumbs and falls to some sort of slippage. Now, the one thing about the back line is that they are in full form when they were not in full form when we left the pitch for the coronavirus. You had players injured all over the place. You had Bello who was hurt. You had Robinson who was hurt. I think the fact that you have Meza and Escobar, who probably had his best play of his Atlanta United career outside of the postseason, when you think about when you had Franco Escobar playing about as well on defense as he had at any point in his Atlanta career, that part of it, I think you look at him and you see what he had to bring to the table. He was very much playing in a very, very concerted and clean effort. And I think that certainly bodes well for him. He got a lot of experience kind of being the alpha as part of that back third when you had guys like Robinson and Bello out. Scouting some of these teams, though, you know, the one thing about New York is that you had some experience playing them in the preseason. You haven't got a regular season match underneath your belt, but the one thing that Longshue says is that it's a team you know very, very well, but not quite with the personnel we're used to seeing from the Red Bulls.
They have a lot of very hardworking players, and we've seen this season they're playing a shape that is very narrow. They don't want the ball to get out wide. They want to force you into the middle. Atlanta United has two ways to deal with that. They're very strong in the middle on the ball. Emerson Hyneman has started off the season great. You hope he can find that form again. And we know about Pitti and Barco in possession. But you also have Lennon and Bello and Jake Mulroney, when he factors in out wide, who can stretch the field and open the Red Bulls up. The Red Bulls of the past are not this iteration of the Red Bulls. They've lost a lot of faces and they're incorporating a lot of new players.
Cincinnati will be playing with a brand new manager. Last time that Atlanta United saw them, Atlanta United won their only home match against FC Cincinnati. And in the game against Columbus, if you do get wins in the first two matches, you will have at least assured your way through. The one very big wrinkle, though, when you think about what that last match is going to mean, you basically are going to have your pick of the poison when it comes to your two opponents in Group F. It's either going to be LAFC or the Galaxy, and a win basically gets you the lesser of the two in that group. Portland could possibly make it out of that group as a second chance, but I think it's probably going to be one of the two LA teams, which means that that crew game is not going to be the kind of game where Frank DeBoer can go in the lab. You have to take that game seriously, especially if both you and Columbus have 6 points on your side. The World Cup nature of this tournament is just so fascinating, and getting to see Frank DeBoer coach, and that is probably the most intriguing part of it with regards to the United. 404-741-0929 is hanging in touch with me, Willie P. We'll come back, tell you what's happening, and a historic day thanks to one of our franchises taking a positive step toward progressive change. Comes your way next, Willie P. in for John Chuckery as we'll start the Brown Liquor Hour. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.